Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Welcome to this week's episode of Irate Tireless Minority. And today I'm going to deviate a bit from my standard platform of politics, religion, and doing what's right, and just go over the Department of Homeland Security Daily Infrastructure Report and pick out some of the things that caught my eye. So first of all, I suppose I could try and spend a little time in my normal format. Oh, first of all, may the 4th be with you. Ha! I know it's an old joke, but I still enjoy it. Okay. I've got all the links listed in the show description, but you'll have to copy and paste because if I try to put them in as links, it makes the description too long and won't let me post it. The joys of BTR. But it's free, so yay for BTR. Anyway, I'm going to start out with teacher sick-outs. Close most Detroit schools for a second day. Now, if you're paying attention, you know that Detroit is in dire, dire trouble. They don't have money. The city's been run into the ground. It's a haven of violence and nastiness and I don't know what else to call it. But as of 7:15 a.m., 94 of the district's 97 schools were shut down, and this is on MSN.com. The same number that was forced to cancel classes Monday when more than 1,500 teachers did not show up for work. And it's not known how many students were affected, blah, blah, blah. Teachers were expected to continue picketing outside of district administrative offices where several hundred protested on Monday. And a union membership meeting was scheduled on Tuesday. Let us be clear, we are still locked out, Detroit Federation of Teachers President Ivy Bailey said in an email late Monday to the union's rank and file. We do not work for free, and therefore we do not expect you to report to schools tomorrow. See, what's happening is this district has been under continuous state oversight since 2009 because the city infrastructure collapsed, basically, and led by a series of emergency managers who've tried to cut down its debt and millions of dollars in annual deficits. See, the difference between debt is what you owe, and deficit is what you said you're going to spend over and above what you actually bring in. They're different things, but they're often used interchangeably. Current transition manager and former federal judge Stephen Rhodes, who oversaw the city's recent bankruptcy, warned over the weekend that $47.8 million in emergency money that the state approved in March will run out by June 30th, which means the teachers who opted to have their pay spread out over a full 12 months instead of the course of the school year would not receive paychecks in July and August without more help from the state. Now, for those of you who don't know any teachers, I have a lot of teachers in my family at all levels, so I know how this works. And generally, well, probably not everywhere, but generally if you're a teacher, school is in session for 9 months of the year and then it's out for 3 months of the year. And what you can do is you can choose to just be paid for the months of the year that you're teaching, and then you budget for those 3 months, or you pick up a different job, or you pick up some substitute teaching or whatever in summer school if you need to fill in that money, or you just budget for it so then you've got 3 months off and you don't have to do anything. 3 months vacation, who wouldn't love that? Or if you don't want to be bothered to do that budgeting thing, you can say stretch my payout over the whole year, and then you just keep getting a paycheck over those 3 months in the summer. And what's happened is that that $47.8 million in emergency money is going to run out, so they won't be able to pay those teachers who said spread it out throughout the year. And so they're not going to get paid in July and August, which means that if they had taken the pay me while I'm teaching thing, they'd be in good shape. But they didn't, so now they're going to get shortchanged. And the thing, and so they're striking, and reasonably so, because as I have said before, teachers are not saints. They're ordinary human beings like you and me, and as such, they deserve to be paid for their work. And if you promise you're going to pay them, you should pay them. But the other thing is, excuse me, if there's no more money, it's not going to do you any good to strike. The money is not going to appear out of thin air because you strike, because you went on strike. The end of the article says, I think this is the end, and this is where the whole dismantling of the Detroit public school system begins, Baker McCormick said. The state took over, and now look at where we are. And I think that's a darn good thing. I really do, because the reformation of the public school system in this country needs to start somewhere. Detroit, you think you're at the bottom and you're feeling hard done by? Here is your chance to show the rest of the country how it's done. Build a good system. Do online so that students can be homeschooled or be at home while they're being schooled so they can ask their parents. Oh, wait, their parents might be single parents who are working during the day. Well, you know what? I guess you're going to have to do something. You're either going to have to raise children responsible enough to be sitting at home doing their online work themselves without supervision, or you're going to have to ask your employer to make a room where you can bring your kids in so they can sit and do their online work there. But either way, they're spending more time closer to you, which is good for you and good for them and good for the nation. Because if children can be where their parents can say, what are they telling you in school? That's nonsense. That doesn't make any sense at all. Or this is why they're saying that. It's a philosophical thing. They're trying to push their atheistic religion on you. You know, then you've got the parent involved. Cheaper, much, much cheaper to do an online version of school than to have all the bricks and mortar. And teachers, there will be jobs for you because they need online teachers, and those online courses are far more intensive than regular teaching. In a regular classroom, you can ask a question and pick on one kid to answer it. In an online classroom, they all have to answer it, which means they're going to need more teachers to spread out their time and to be more personally involved with the students, which seems like it wouldn't work that way, but it kind of does, or at least in my observations. So that is Detroit for politics. And now let's see what else have I got up here. Government safety recalls. Oh, yes, let's do that. There's an FDA.gov safety recall in effect for CRF frozen foods. It expands its voluntary recall to include all frozen vegetable and fruit products due to possible health risk. Now, see, I included this because, first of all, I wanted to let you know about this FDR recall because it's huge. Second of all, because it struck me as interesting that this is an organic farm. And I don't know about you, but whenever I hear about organic farms and organic food, I'm picturing some little mom and pop farm with 5 acres, and they grow their own veggies and they sell them at the farmer's market, and those foods are good. Given the number of products recalled and the number of brands under which they are organic food, guess what? It's big, big business. So all you vegan lefty protesters who say, oh, organic food is better. Guess what? They're corporations too, I betcha. And if they're not, they soon will be because it's big, big money because they can charge you more for it. Because, of course, growing organic means you're risking having more diseases and more crop failures. And it's more labor intensive in general. So as a precaution, they are expanding their voluntary recall of frozen organic traditional fruits and vegetables. And they do, and that's the other thing. Companies who produce food and other products are under no government obligation to recall them, but they do so voluntarily. Understand the philosophical wonderfulness of this in America. These companies do these recalls voluntarily because that's the character of the nation and of the people producing our food, as long as we keep making those people of good character who are dealing with food. And the the problem with the food is that the CDC has informed them that the government has identified 7 people from 3 states who became ill and were hospitalized due to listeria, which is a nasty, nasty one. Sadly, 2 of these individuals later died, but listeria was not the cause of death in either person. Of course, it probably wasn't helpful. So I am going to go through CRF. It says products being recalled may have been purchased in all 50 U.S. states and in the following Canadian provinces: British Columbia, Alberta, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan. So this is a big old company, folks. And I'm going to read off the brands so that you know what they are. There is Bybee's, B-Y-B-E-E. And they have a whole list of the products. You can go to the site. It's FDA.gov, safety recalls, and look it up. Northwest Growers, Organic by Nature, Canadian Costco Wholesale Organic by Nature, C.H. Belts, Chef Maxwell, Correct Choice, Earth's Pride, Endico, Farmer's Bounty, Fiesta Mart, The Inn, Live Smart, Parade, O Organic, Panda Express, there's only 2 for Panda Express, carrots and peas and super sweet corn, Pantry Essentials, Safeway Kitchens, Signature Kitchens, more Signature Kitchens, that's a long list, Trader Joe's. So if you're one of those, I shop at Trader Joe's, all my food is safe. Well, first there's the peanut butter, now there's this. Organic broccoli, organic foursome, organic peas, petite peas, and organic super sweet cut corn. Oh, and organic whole green beans. USDA, cut corn, cut green beans, green peas, super sweet corn. VIP, Wellesley Farms. And then there are a number of private labels. JFDA, McCain, Mitty Fresh, that's M-I-T-Y, Mountain Mist, Overhill Farms, Veggie Maria, Life Foods, Emerald Farms, Endico again, Great Value. Pay attention if you shop at Walmart, because Great Value is the Walmart brand, the Walmart house brand, sort of. And that's cut green beans, value mixed vegetables, value peas and carrots, value sweet peas, or Great Value, not value. Great Value mixed vegetables, whole kernel golden corn. Those are different sizes. Then we've got steamable cut green beans, steamable mixed vegetables, steamable sweet corn, steamable sweet peas. Then we go on to James Farm, Kirkland Signature, Price First, Quirch, Season's Choice, Simply Nature, True Goodness, Wild Oats, and Woolworth's home brand frozen peas for export, or it says it's under export. So if you eat any of those, if you buy any of those frozen fruits and vegetables, they're under recall, and you can look up the package names on the FDA safety recall site, FDA.gov. So there is my public service announcement sort of for the day. And let's see what else we got here. Well, politics, the police in, this is on mystateline.com. Applewood Lane, let's see. This Cherry Valley Police Department, and I am not sure what state this is in, but the upshot of it is there is, it's police rescue fire victims using new tool. Now, policemen and firemen are different branches. They don't have the same training, and so policemen generally do not do things like running into fires and rescuing people, and that's why you see it on the news when they do, because it's rare because they don't have the training, and they have enough police training to know that if you go into a situation where you don't have training, you're going to do something stupid, and your likelihood of death is ever so much higher. And that's why firemen and ambulances aren't allowed to go into situations where there's open fire or other violence going on until that violence is settled, because they don't have the training. That's not part of their job. But what's happening in this particular community is that the police have SUVs, and they have started including 12-foot ladders in their SUV equipment. And there was a fire at this apartment complex, and the police department used one of those 12-foot lifesaver ladders to rescue those that couldn't escape through the front door. So that's an idea. I thought that was kind of neat that they're innovating like that. It's dangerous because, like I said, police do not have fire training. But still, it shows you the character of the people you have working for you, that they're willing to do that for you. And I'm sure they use the ladders for other things, but there you are. And, yes, there's a groundbreaking levee project to restore the ecosystem in Hamilton County, California. Hamilton City, Hamilton County, California. They are going to be redoing, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said they're going to redo the levees because in the last 20 years, the communities had to evacuate 6 times. And it's they rely on the existing levee to contain the Sacramento River flows, and it doesn't meet current levee construction standards as it was constructed originally in 1904. So the people building levees and dams back in the 1900s, they knew their stuff because they've lasted a long time. But really, folks, time to redo things. And what they're going to do is they're going to build the levees farther from the river so that in times of overflow, the river has that freedom to expand. It gives them more space, less pressure on the levees, and restores the ecosystem. So it seems to be a good thing. Now, it could be one of those sustainable nonsense things where they take people's land and that's awful. But it seems to be a good thing to make it a more natural thing. And they're saying, but the thing that they're emphasizing in the article is that you need to maintain and fund infrastructure. He says the new levee will last decades if it is maintained. You see, and that's one of, when I say that charity is not the job of government, people will often ask me, well, what is the job of government? And aside from the military to protect our borders and our people, this is the sort of thing that government is good for. Maintaining infrastructure, maintaining roads to make sure you can get to and from work without dipping into a pothole, making, you know, this levee thing to make sure that your house isn't going to be flooded every year. That's what government is good for. That's what government is supposed to be doing. And that's what they seem to be doing here in Hamilton County, California, or according to this article, which is krcrtv.com. And that's that one. And we've also got, let's see, 2 more stories. And I think I'm going to segue into religion here with a story on Fox News from May 2nd. And the headline is, officials say that the FBI thwarts plot against prominent Florida Jewish center. And the way this the way this is framed is very deceptive and very spin-like, because if you just read the first part to skim it and get an idea what happened there, you're going to get entirely the wrong idea. And here's why. They started out with a man's explosive attack on a South Florida Jewish center was thwarted by FBI through an undercover operation involving a dummy bomb, authorities said Monday. James Medina is accused of trying to blow up the Aventura Turnberry Jewish Center during Passover services. Officials portrayed Medina as being anti-Semitic. Medina explained that if he would conduct an attack, he would want to do it at a synagogue because Jewish people are the ones causing the world's war and conflicts. Yeah, right, because none of the rest of us are nasty people or engage in war at all. Please. The 17-page FBI affidavit includes numerous comments allegedly made by Medina about his plan, which was awful, and several conversations were recorded by an informant identified only as a confidential human source. According to the FBI, he wanted to create a leaflet to be left at the scene in which he would claim the attack was traced to the Islamic State terror group. There's no evidence the group was actually linked to Medina, but he told the informant that leaflet would make it look like it's ISIS here in America, just like that. Now, if you read to that point and you're not paying attention, last name Medina, here's a clue, you would say to yourself, oh, it's just some white supremacist trying to make Islam look, I'm sorry, if you continue reading, which probably most people don't, you would find out that he's doing it for Allah, which means it is ISIS here in America, because one of ISIS's goals is to activate individuals, to radicalize individuals here in America and across the globe to do things in the name of Allah. And this is why I have said repeatedly that Islam needs to be declared as a nation state, and the followers of Islam need to choose a citizenship. You either convert away from Islam or you become a citizen of Islam, in which case you are no longer a citizen of whatever country you live in, and you may be treated accordingly. And I'm sure that it would be necessary to set up some sort of transition program for those who've been living here, you know, with their grandparents, you know, since their grandparents came here or whatever. But the thing is that Islam is a nation state, and it has citizens who are followers of Islam. And all those Muslims who say, oh, I'm not a supporter of ISIS. Well, if you're giving money to Zakat, you are. If you're giving money to fund jihad, you are, and you're required to do that. So you need to choose to be a decent human being and convert away from that barbaric death cult, or choose to be a part of that barbaric death cult, but then don't expect to be treated as a citizen or have the rights of a citizen in any other country that you're trying to take over by your presence there. And I'm not saying that with hate. I'm saying that out of a wish that we would recognize the reality of what Islam is. So, the plot would be to strike it back at the Jews. Really? Did anybody in that synagogue hurt you personally, Mr. Medina? I don't think so. It's war, man, and it's like it's time to strike back here in America. Called the plan my call of duty. When I'm doing this, here's what you need to read down through the article to get to. When I'm doing this, I feel that I'm doing it for a good cause for Allah. Another undercover FBI employee several times asked him whether he really wanted to go through with the plot, which might include killing women and children. I'm up for it, I really am. This is no joke. This is serious. Apparently, he is also not very bright because he thought it was Yom Kippur. He thought he'd be disrupting Yom Kippur, not Passover. He said he wanted to let them realize that their Yom Kippur is going down. He's being held at a federal detention center in Miami and is slated to appear in court Monday to be charged with a weapons of mass destruction offense, which ought to be interesting since it was a dummy bomb provided by the FBI. The FBI is so schizophrenic in this country, it's not even funny. We need to know who the good guys are, and we need to stop turning the good guys into bad guys, and you'll see why when I go on to the next story. But there's your religion of peace for you. And there it is, ISIS in America. It's not that, oh, we found no connection to ISIS. Islam is the connection to ISIS. The fact that he wanted to do it for Allah and to show and to accord it to ISIS, who would take that credit? They'd say, yeah, man, we're getting through to our brothers in the United States and they're doing what we tell them. That is ISIS. Logically, philosophically, that's their goal. Understand this and move on. Moving on to our doing the right thing. Former FBI special agent pleads guilty to embezzlement of drug proceeds and obstruction of justice. And this is from the www.justice.gov. And it's from Monday, May 2nd. Also, he pleaded guilty today for stealing over $136,000 of drug proceeds seized during the execution of search warrants in 2014 and falsifying reports and tampering with a witness. And he admitted he misappropriated drug proceeds seized during the execution of three search warrants in June and August of 2014 after they were transferred to his custody in his official capacity as a federal law enforcement officer. He then spent the stolen money for his own personal use, including $43,000 to purchase a Dodge Challenger Coupe, $27,000 to purchase a Toyota FRS Coupe, $26,000 to outfit these vehicles with new speakers, rims, tires, and other equipment, $15,000 to pay for cosmetic surgery for his spouse, and $10,000 into a checking account. In order to conceal his embezzlement, Bowman falsified official FBI reports, submitted the receipt with a forged signature, and asked a local police detective to provide false information to law enforcement officers if asked about his activities with respect to the drug proceeds. Specifically, he sent emails to the local police detective containing a detailed cover story that the detective was instructed to provide and a copy of the receipt with the forged signature so that the detective could falsely claim the forged signature as his own. When the FBI became aware of these allegations of misconduct, they immediately took action and said the public should be reminded that FBI personnel are held to the highest standards and misconduct of any kind is taken very seriously. But part of that is because when you're an FBI agent, you are accorded a higher level of trust. But the way that we are using FBI agents, CIA agents, and others to make them into essentially criminals to do undercover work, I have to question that. I've questioned it before on this show. I have to question that. You don't keep people good by turning them into bad guys. This sort of temptation is hard enough when you're not mixing, when you're not having to mix your... Well, that was a lovely reminder, BTR, for my 90-second warning, but it just cut off my entire train of thought. And I have difficulty holding on to that train of thought these days. If you're forced to mix your loyalties and to subvert your principles in order to serve at this high level, in order to be an undercover agent, that's a wrong thing. The people are supposed to be providing information. We're not supposed to be turning the good guys into bad guys. And I'm not saying that we did, because this is clearly he's just taking money because he saw he could. But, you know, personal integrity and character, personal responsibility, self-reliance, these are the things America is based on. That's why good character and virtue are important to the citizens of this country. That's why we have to raise our game up. We have the government we deserve. Let's bring our game up and deserve better. And with that, we are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we are all supposed to get out there, call your legislators, let them know what you're thinking. They're not psychic. They can't read everything. Have a great week.